Asr Leibam, because Tumah Ksiva Bakaraya, since the Torah uses the word Tumah, by Saita we compare it to an Erva, that just as an Erva Asr Zitzara, it's Saita Asr Zitzara as well, and the Rif Paskins, that the simple meaning of the Gemara is, that there is no Chalitza, there's no Yibam, and it's really Hava Atalia, since it's Mavkia, Zika, and there's no Chalitza, that's why there's an Isr Zitzara. So essentially, the Ravid had two kashas, although they're related. One kasha is, why is a Saita different than Machzor Grushasai? By a Machzor Grushasai, according to at least one Mati Yomar, that issue is also called Tuma, because it says, V'halcha v'haisa l'isha acher, lo yuchal b'ayla arish, and lo shufat kachta, achareya cherikama. That's also called, Tuma. And yet we find that we paskin that a tsaras machshir grushasa is mutra. At least in chalitza, and actually, logically, even in yibam mamish. So the question is, both of them are called tuma, so why should I make a chiluk between a tsara of machshir grusha and a tsara of a saita? That's one kasha. A second kasha is more in lundus, that is, since the Isser of Saita, Kedushin is Tarsin, if a Baal is Makadish, his wife not a Saita, even if the Saita Vadan, the Kedushin is Toveis, just as if a person is Makadish Machzor Grusha, Kedushin is Toveis. So if that's the case, if the Isser is not Mafkia Ishas, how could it be Mafkia Zika? Meaning, well, why should you say it's Mafkia Zika? Right? So these are really two separate kashas, that they were related. Number one, why is a Tsaras Machzor Grusha not like a Tzara Saita? And by Tzara Saita Gufa, what is the Svara that a Saita is Pacha from Chalitza because it's Mavkia Zika, if in point of fact, even Lagabe the husband, it's not Mavkia Ishas. Not only is it not Mavkia Ishas, but even if the husband would have divorced her and then would be Makadager again, the Kedushin would be Typhus. So essentially, the Ramban's Mahalas is this. Maybe I want to just remind you. So the Ramban tries to be Miyashiv the Rif. And the Ramban's Mahalach is that there are, again, I'm going to repeat, that there are really three steps in the analysis that you have to look at. And Machzor Grusha only has one of those steps. It doesn't have, it has two of the steps. So that's step one and step three, but it doesn't have step two. And you can't get to three until you get to two. I know that's a little inconvenient, but what's the getter? Getter number one is that there is a commonality of Machzor Grusha and Saita that you're not allowed to be miyabim them. That is a common denominator. And that itself is a question. Why aren't I allowed to be miyabim them? L'chayre, the Isser is to the Baal. The Isser is not on the Yavam directly. Saita, right? The woman's Mazana, she's Asr L'Baal. Machzor Grusha, it's Asr L'Baal. How do you get to step one that there's an Isser of Yibam? So that is a swara, that is not derived from a pasuk. That is simply the overall swara that since the yavam takes over the ishus of the brother, so whatever would be usher to the brother is usher to the yavam. That is not from the drasha. That is a stam swara. Again, I wouldn't have said automatically it's an immediately intuitive swara, but this is a swara that less mandapali, that there's an isher to the brother. There's an issue to the Yavam because the Yavam takes over that Ishus. Okay. That is step one, and that is why you're not Miyabe, the Saita or the Machzor Grusha. Step two, is this an issue that's Mafkia Zika? Or is it an issue that's not Mafkia Zika? Nafgamina. If it's an issue that's Mafkia Zika, there wouldn't be Chalitza. I'm not talking about Saria. If it's an issue that's not Mafkia Zika, it'll be like Chayve Lavin. That have to have chalitza. So there, you don't know that intuitively. You can't make the jump that since it's usher to the husband, it's usher to the Baal, therefore it's mafkia zika. That just wouldn't be emes, because lagabe the Baal, it's not mafkia ishus. So for that, the Ramban says, yuvada, I need a drasha. And the drasha that exists by Saita is a drasha that Rav doesn't even mention in but that's Marumas, not Marumas, that's brought down in the Gemara in Saita, that it says that when a, right, ki yikach ish isha u matzava erbas tamar, because of la sefer krisas, V'yatsa v'peisa, v'yatsa v'halcha l'yishach. Now you divorced her because of Erevas Davar, you divorced her because of the Saita. Right? Either Saita Safek or Saita Vada. You divorced her for that reason. And it says, v'yatsa v'haisa, haisa is havaya. She went and she has ishas v'yishacher. So the Gemara has a drasha. When can there be havaya, kedushin, only v'yishacher, below the Yavam. The Yavam is not called Yishachar. So what is that drasha teaching me? That drasha teaches me stage two, that not only is there an iser to the Yavam, which I know in Mishmura, but since the Torah says that a Saita only has Havaya Yishachar below the Yavam, that tells me it's Maftiya Zika as well. And that is the reason why a Saita does not have Chalitza, because the Yatsa V'Haisa L'Yishacher is Megala, there's Havkoasi. Now, granted, you already have a logical inconsistency, because you could raise the question, well, how come it's not Maftiya the Ishus of the husband, and it is Maftiya the Ishus of the other? I don't know. But nevertheless, Mikayach Nisdrasha, that is exactly what you know. Now, and that is where Machzir Grushasai fails the test. That the drasha, the yatsa v'haisa v'yishacher, is going back on ki matza v'erbas dobar. So the drasha that there's no havkoas kedusha, I'm sorry, that there is havkoas ika from the yatsa v'haisa v'yishacher is only a giloi by seidet. It is not a giloi by machzir grusha. If that's so, we're back to svara. In svara, machzir grusha should not be Mavkiya Ziga, because exactly as the Raman says, it's not Mavkiya Ishas. And by Saita, I would say the same thing, except for the fact that I have the Yatsa V'Haisa V'Yashacher, that there's Hakkasi. So that's where Machzir Grusha fails. Now, Rav doesn't even bring that drasha. Rav is relying on that Gemara, the Ramban says. So why does Rav need Tuma Kesiva Bakar Rayas? Because there's a third step in the analysis. That is, okay, we know from a regular svara that there's an Isra Yiva. We know from the Gezeres HaKasov, V'yatsa V'haisa L'yishacher, that it's Matkiya Zika, and the Saita does not need Chalitza. But how would you know that the Saita would aser the Tzara? Now you might say, well, shouldn't that follow automatically? Shouldn't I say?
Here's one question, that's for clarification. Yeah. The Yatsa V'Haisa L'Yishacher is talking about a regular grusha.
No, it's not. The Yisra of Machzir Grusha, Lo Yuchal Bai Larisha, is talking about every grusha. But it says, Ki Masaba Erbas Dagor.
That's specifically by Sota.
Ki Masaba Erbas Dagor. That's Sota. Ki Masaba Erbas Dagor. Man divorces his wife because he found an Erevas Dabar, so it says she can only have Havaya to an Ishacher and not to the other.
But by regular Gerusha, it doesn't say Matzah, but
He divorces his wife.
It's a mitzvah for him to remarry her.
That's
fine.
That's fine. Right. I understand. But the drasha, the words for Yatsa V'Haisa L'Yishacher, I mean, the Torah is giving you a specific case. We happen to say, that's the Machlokes of Shammai Beis Hillel, but Shammai says, you're not allowed to divorce your wife unless there's an Erevas Dabar. Right. We pass it on Beis Hillel because he's marvin. But the Torah is talking about you divorce the Saita. That is what the Torah is talking about. And in connection with that case, where you divorce the Saita, there can only be Havaya L'Yishacher Lo L'Yavam. So it's going on the case of Ki Matzava Erevas Dabar. Now you might say, well, why do I need anything about stage three? Once I know there's an Isra Yiva, and once I know it's Mavkiya Zika, that you don't even need Chalitza, then automatically it should answer the Tzara, because that's the characteristic of an Erva, that there's no Zika because Ein Kedushin Taisin. So apparently Rav holds that wouldn't be Masrik. Because Rav apparently holds that since the makor for an Isser Tzara is from Achais Isha, and Achais Isha is a chi of Karveis, so Rav apparently holds, even if you've made Saita like an erva, that it's Mavkiya Zika, that alone would not asser the Tzara, because it's not doing it to the Mamatsinu of Achais Isha. Therefore, Rav brings in stage three, that since the Torah uses the same nomenclature for Saita as it does for Erva, namely Tuma, that allows us to come to stage three, that it asers the Tzara. Now, Zakta Ramban, however, you're only going to darshan Tuma to be equal to Erva once you know there's Havka'asika. In other words, once you know there's Havka'asika, then I darshan Tuma Ka'arayat to Asher the Tzara. But by Machzir Gerusha, even if I say the Torah calls it Tuma, since in Svara it's not Mavkiya Zika because it's not Mavkiya Ishas, then you'll never have a Havka'ah to be able to say it as a Din of Erva. So you'll interpret Tuma in some other way. It doesn't say what it will be. So therefore the Ramban says that this is, the Yashar of the Ravid's Kashas, right? The Ravid had two Kashas. One is Machzir Gerusha is also called Tuma. And the other is, how could there be Havka'asika if there's no Havka'asishas? And the Ramban's teretz for both of those Kashas is, again, it's relying on an unarticulated Gemara. that Rav's foundation is gebayt on the Gemara in Saita, but you still need Tuma to Asur the Tzara. But if you didn't have the principle that it's Mavkiya Zika, you would not darshan to Asur the Tzara, because logically, that shouldn't be the case, because it's not Mavkiya Ishas, unless you have a Gzeres Kashas. Right? So this is the Yishuv of the Ramban. Now, one horror, just to stop us in on this. All right, so the kitzer, the halacha at least, is fairly clear that a saita is petura from mimam and chalitza, and a tzara saita is like a tzara erva, petura nasura, from mimam and chalitza. Right, that's all the same. Now, machzir grusha say is a little less clear. The machzir grusha say herself, you're not miyabim. That's for sure. And the Idach Gisa, the Machzir Grusha, so is Chayim in Chalitza. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan said. Okay. So here's the question though. What is the din of a Tsaras Machzir Grusha? Meaning, two women, right? A man dies, two women fall the Yiva. One is the Grusha that he was Machzir after she lived with somebody else or married somebody else, and the other was a Tsara. Now, clearly, if I want to deal with the Machzir Grusha, all I can give her is Chalitza, I cannot be Miyabim. But what if I decide, instead of the Machzir Grusha, I want to deal with the Tzara? What is the din of a Tzara's Machzir Grusha? Now, for Shteitzach, you can't... for Shteitzach, you have to give her Chalitza. She's not going to be more Chamor than the Machzir Grusha. That's for sure. But that's the question. Can I do Yibun on a Tzoras Machzir Grusha? The Lashon of the Ravid, although he didn't really, he wasn't the first one, is Mashma Magnazach, that a Tzoras Machzir Grusha is Osir B'Yibam, and you have to give Chalitza to it. Although it's not clear, that's the Mashmos of his Lashon. But L'chaira in Lamdas it would appear. It would appear in Lamdas. And you should check the Shulchan Aruch, I think it's Halach as well. That the Tzara Bechlal is not Asura, because a Tzara's Erva is forbidden in Yiva only when there's a Havka'ah of Zika. In other words, it's all about Talia. You cannot Asura Tzara even in Yiva unless the originator is Petura even from Chalitza, because Kol's Man, there is Yiva, there is Chalitza on the Erva, or the Asura, there is Zika. If there's Zika, there's no basis to answer the Tzara. So L'chaira, it would seem the Tzara that a Tzara's Machzir Grusha could even be Muteras B'Yiva. But again, as they say, the Ravid is a Shtickle Mashma, not that way, maybe more than a Shtickle, because if you remember the Ravid Paskins, not like the Rav, the Ravid Paskins, even by Saita, the Ravid Paskins, that because of his kasha of machzor grusha, he paskins that a seita vadai gets chalitza, and a tsara seita gets chalitza. It's mashma from the Ravid that a tsara seita can only have chalitza, and since the Ravid is mashma seita to machzor grusha, it seems to be that the Ravid learns that there's such a zach that even if the original source of the issur is not mafkia zika, it can also be sort of even. That has a very, very big finish, very sure finish.
Only because he's going with the whole, Rav. The other way is this whole interesting three-way issue of this first initial afka of the issue.
So it could be that the shot of the Ravid is that the Ravid does learn that you can have stage three without stage two, meaning Rav could only answer the Torah after there's Havka Avishas. It could be that the Ravid holds anything that's called Tumah, like Arayas, is going to answer the Torah. In other words, the way the Ravid learns the Halacha is the following. The Ravid does not bring in the Gemara in Saita's Drasha because Rav does not bring in the Gemara in Saita. In other words, the Ravid learns that Rav is basing all of his Halacha on Tumah. So Frek the Ravid, Machzor Grusha is also called Tumah. So the Ravid's Mahalach is the following. It's not Shaykh to say you don't need Chalitza because Machzor Grusha or Saita is not Mafkia Ishas because it's not Mafkia Ishas. That's why you need Chalitza. Tumah is Machadesh. That even though it's not an erva that's mafkia zika, it's like an erva that asks the tzara. In other words, that's good for the chiddush. He's jumping straight to step three without even having a step two. Meaning, according to the Ravid, that's good for the chiddush. Tuma kisiva ba
karayas.
The only question is this. The only question that still remains is the following nekuda. Whether Machzor Grusha is in fact called Tumah is a Machlokas Tanoim. Saita for sure is called Tumah, the Nistara, the Himitzma. But in the Pasuk, what does it say? Lo Yuchal Baila Harisha Lashel Vukachta Acharei Asher Hu Tama. But if you remember, there was a Machlokas from Yasi Ben Kippur and the Chachamim that according to one man, the Amar, according to Yasi Ben Kippur, the issue of Machzor Grusha is only if she had Bia with the second husband. And that is the meaning of Hutama, not referring to Saita, just referring to her Bia with the second husband. According to that, Machzor Grusha is called Hutama. Yeah. But if you learn like the Chachamim, that Machzor Grusha is Usher, even Minayersen, then it said, Acharei Asher Utama is referring to the Yisr of being Machzor your Saita. In other words, remember the Chachamim split it up. There are two lavin in the pasuk. One is, you can't marry a woman, your wife, once she married somebody else. The other is, you can't marry your wife if she was a Saita and you divorced her. And the Hutama is going on the Saita part. According to that, Machzor Grusha is not Tumah. So it could be, So according to that, which we ask him like Chayra, Machzor Grusha is not Tuma. If Machzor Grusha is not Tuma, then I understand why there's no Isra Yiba. I understand why there's an Isra Yiba because it's Usher to the husband. But Lechayra, the Tzorah shouldn't be Usher at all. Meaning, the Chiddush would be that the only Makam, according to the Ravid, to say that the Tzorah would be Usher to Yiba would only be like Rav Yasi Ben Kippur, not like the Chacham. I don't know. It doesn't totally fit all the halachas here, but okay. All right, but this is with the Rabban. So the Rabban is learning there are three steps when you're dealing with what you call quasi-erbas, things that are not real erbas. Number one, why is there an Isser Yiba? Number two, does this Isser Mafkia Zika Patr Mishalitza? Number three, once there's Havkoa Zika, will you ask her with Sora? The Yisr Yiba is a general Svara, the Yavam takes over the Ishas. The Havkoa Sazika is the Gemara in Saita, the Yatsa Vahaisa Vyashachar Vlo Vyavam. The Yisr Tsara is Tuma Kisiva Va Karayas, Machshir Kerusha, the Ramban says, does not have that second step of Havkoa Zika. And in Svara, it's not going to be Mavkiya Zika because it's not Mavkiya Ishus. Therefore, the Ramban says, even though it's called Tuma, we cannot possibly construe it to Asher Nitzora because it's not even Mavkiya the Erva from Chalit, or the Yisr from Chalit. Right, so this is the Ramban's
Mahal. You didn't mention on Thursday something that maybe Kimiyasha, the Rabbi with the Zer Garbana, he's going to do the Rabbi, something like that?
It could be. The problem is the Rabbi doesn't say anything. The Rabbi actually doesn't say anything. So it's schwer to bring in a Rabbanan if he didn't say it's a Okay. By the way, another thing that I saw, this is very interesting. You know, by Saita, right, the Torah says a Saita Suffolk is Asurin. I had assumed for a double question, not just a double question, that if a Baal is Baal, a woman that was Nasser Bikina Yustira, he would get Malkus. He would get Malkus because the Torah makes the Suffolk to the Baal. But I see, it's actually a Machlekes Rishayim. The Rashba says that it's a Dabar Pashat, the Baal gets Malkus, because Asa HaKasa Suffolk to that. But I see that the Rambam, of all people, the Rambam obviously has a very authoritative opinion. The Rambam says that even though the Torah is machmir misafek, but the Gabay Yonchin is still a safek and you're not ma'anish misafek. According to the Rambam, you do not get malchus unless there are edom that she was betuma. If there are edom she was nevelis, you get malchus. But if a woman is Naseras, Bikina Yustira, that is treated as a Safek Isser, which the Torah is Machmir on you, but you don't get Malkus for it.
Do you get Karis, though?
You get what?
Karis, because she's Aishas Isha.
No, I'm talking about the husband. The husband is what?
Does it undo the Bikina Yustira?
What do you mean?
Does it undo it?
No. She remains a sewer. Now I'm trying to think like this. I'm trying to think that maybe
could she could still drink? Now we can't. That's finished.
That's the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that. The Mishnah says one. She's permanently Naseris at this point. In other words, once the Baal.
She's Naseris, but she's not adjudged. We don't know whether or not she's actually a sota.
Well, that's correct. But she has no way of
clearing her name. That's right. But as far as
okay. So I was thinking that it could be.
She could clear her name in theory. I mean, otherwise, if it comes out, goes anything more than it's over.
That way. But she doesn't have drinks. She can't drink.
Can't drink.
So I want to say this order. That it could be the Rashba and the Rambam. Go the Shitasim on this. Now there's a famous, the Rambam is a very famous Shita, that the Klal, Safek De'araisa L'chumra, that every Safek on a Torah violation, you have to be Machmer. The Rambam Shita is that's only a Din D'Rabbanan. That Minat Torah, if you're Mesupik, if something is Kashur or Treif, you're allowed to be Mekel. The Torah is not Mechayev you to be Machmer the Safek. It's only midrabanan that you're mechuyev to be machmer b'safek. This is the Rambam Shita. The Rashba, as do most Rishayim say, safek yaraisa l'chumra is minatayru. Now, by Saita, we have a kezeres hakasav that the safek is kevada. Now, here is the connection. According to the Rashba, I don't need a pasuk to tell me misafek she's asura. That would be subsumed under the general principle of Safek D'Araisa L'Chumra, that's the Araisa. So what must the Torah be telling me when it says Safek is Asura? That the Safek is Kavadai, and you get Malkus. Masha'en came like the Rambam, who says that the normal rule is Safek D'Araisa L'Chumra is Midrabanan, so I need the case of Saita to tell me the Safek is Asura. But just because it's telling me the suffix is usher, it's not automatically machriya kivadai, you see, that you'll get malchus. And that's what the Rambam Lishitasai could very well, in other words, basically by sight, everybody's going to the suffix is usher. Even the Rambam is going to say that's the Araisa. But that's the chiddush, that misafik it's usher. But it's not making it a vadai Lagabe Malka. So it could be the Rambam and the Rashi Bola Shitasam.
The Rashi and the Rashi Bola would say that if you have two pieces of meat in front of you, one Safek Neveil and one Kosher, you would get Malkus for your one?
No, you wouldn't get Malkus, but that's because you don't have a special Gezeris HaKasav. Cite that, in other words, I guess, you have
no, but if you say Safek Deraisa Mechumra, so there's, you have a Safek Deraisa.
No, but I understand, but Safek Deraisa Mechumra doesn't make it a Vada Yasser, meaning Safek Deraisa Mechumra says you're Mechoyev to be Machmer, but it is a Safek. The Torah is not making the Safek a Vada. You certainly would not get Malkus there. But the Mela, by cite that, since I don't need the pasuk to tell me that it's also, right? So the chiddush got to be that it's a bada.
In other words, it would be us if you to eat it, then you wouldn't get malchus.
You would not get malchus misabek. Because normally the same principle that says you're not allowed to do something misabek also says we're not ma'anish misabek. So that would be perhaps they go to she tells them that, but it's interesting that the Rambam talked about it, that you don't get malchus. Very, very sure. I mean, the Lashon in the Gemara always is that the Torah makes it Kavada, but still the Rambam says that's just Lagabe the Yisr and not Lagabe the Yonish Rasam. Okay, let's go a little back with New Sugya, which is a very small in the Gemara itself, not just in the Rift. The Gemara itself is not very big. That's the Rift, more or less, pretty sound. The whole shtickle of the Gemara. But in Halacha Lamaisa, this is huge. You can have hundreds and hundreds of shulas on this whole Shaya. You're up to Tani Ravivi, Kamedra of Nachman. Okay, so Ravivi. What's the lesson of Tani? So you have to know, Tani normally is a Braisa, you have to know that in the days before all of the Braisas were written down, even though the Mishnah was already written down, there are many Braisas that were still preserved by Pat. So you had professional reciters, there were professional libraries. They memorized huge quantities of information, and they would be the library that would recite the spread of the Rav. And the Rav would sometimes correct it. No, you didn't recite it correctly, or the Bryce is not correct. So when you see an Amira Tani, like Tani and Amira so-and-so, this means an Amira is reciting a Bryce orally and in front of his Rebbe, and the Rebbe is determining whether the Bryce is Lahalacha, whether it's Meshubish, whether it needs to be corrected, or whatever. So it says, Tani Ravivi, Kamedra of Nachman. Shalosh Nashim Mishabshais B'mayim. There are three women who have intercourse with a maich. So a maich is a type of tampon that absorbs the zera so to prevent you from becoming pregnant. It's a type of a sponge or a tampon that is a contraceptive. Okay, let's go. We'll go back to second music because there are two fundamental questions here. The three women are Eilonai, Kitana, a girl that is a Kitana, Muberes, a woman that is pregnant of any age, Umeinika, and a woman that has given birth but is still nursing her baby for the shiur that Chazal considered to be optimal for a baby, which is 24 months after childbirth. And what is the reason why these women can have contraception? Kitana, Sheva Tisaber Vishema Tomas. A Kitana, perhaps she'll get pregnant, maybe not, but perhaps she would get pregnant. And perhaps, not for sure, she would die, meaning it was considered to be a sakana for a Kitana to get pregnant. Meinika, Shema Tigmail Espinoa. So the problem of a Meinika is not that it's dangerous to her, but if she gets pregnant, if she does get pregnant, her milk is likely to be cut off, and that may cause a danger for the Vlad. So the first heter is pikuach, potential pikuach nefesh for the woman. The second heter is potential pikuach nefesh to the born baby. And what about Muberes? So although medically this next thing is very, very, extremely rare, but it could happen. Shema Yayasa Ubra Sando. This is a phenomenon that's called, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it, superfetation. That's the concept. I mean, normally it's considered generally virtually impossible for a pregnant woman to get pregnant again. A woman can have twins, but if she's pregnant and her husband is violent, she's not going to get pregnant while she's pregnant. But Chazal considered it possible, and there are some cases like that. And obviously, the situation Sandal is, baby gets crushed or flattened. Right, so the problem is, if unusually there would be a pregnancy while she is pregnant, it could cause a compression of the child. And this is, so actually we have three levels of pikuach nefesh here. Pikuach nefesh of the woman. Pikuach, it's going up in madrigas here. Pikuach nefesh of a baby. Pikuach nefesh of an unborn child. The emesis lahalacha. We are vada mechalal Shabbos. We are mechalal Shabbos, not only for pikuach nefesh of a mother. I mean, let's say it's a situation. Let's say it's a situation where the mother is not in danger. For sure, the mother is not in danger. But if you don't go to the hospital, she could have a miscarriage and the baby would die. So the Ramban paskins, and it's borrowed from a lot of rishis. This is one of the rishis that even pikuach nefesh of a ubra is done for Shabbos. And some shittas say, even an Uber that is pachos mi mem yom, which is pretty amazing, because pachos mi mem yom, that early of a stage, is called mayim b'yalma, and even then we're mechalal Shabbos, because of the potentiality that it could become a lot. Now, there are two fundamental, the Rebbe is not mefarish, there's so many things here, there are two fundamental shaylos that the Rishonim have, how to learn this statement. It clearly says, for those for whom pregnancy will either be a danger to them, the baby, or the fetus, they're reshamshes for life. Implication is, other women not. But it's not a pikuach nefesh. Now, does it mean these three women must, as opposed to other women who need not but may? Or does it mean these three women may and other women are prohibited from doing so? So is it a must versus need not? Or is it a may versus must not? That's shaila number one. Shaila number two, and this is going to be, these two shaylos are hava talia, is what type of moch are we talking about? Are we talking about a moch that is inserted before tashmish? So at the time that the husband is mishamish, he's mishamish into a moch? Or are we talking about a moch after tashmish, meaning to say, the husband was mishamesh kedarko, and afterwards the woman cleans herself out, so to speak. In other words, this is one is called a moch kodem tashmish, and the other is a moch acher tashmish, like some kind of douching, sometimes you're washing, you're just scraping things out right away.
The morning after pill.
Or the morning after pill would be a similar thing. Okay, so these are the two shaylos. Are we dealing with three women may and everyone else is usher? Three women must, other women need not, but they can. Are we dealing with moch kayim tashmish or moch acher tashmish?
Isn't it, first of all, listening, isn't it pashto moch that is afterwards? That's the simple shot. If someone just says moch, that's what it's referring to? Is it general? Well, should not?
No, not Dafka. I don't know what modern Hebrew. Are you from the modern Hebrew? I don't know.
No, I just said, who are you?
No, not Dafka. That's about what is Rishonim. Now,
The other one, when we see these three nashim, these are the only ones who are must or may. Later on in the Gemara, it talks about other women who use moch also, by a person who's in the gyre, or a shifcha. These people also use moch.
Well, it doesn't mean they're allowed. The Gemara mentions other women used it, but it says every isha mizanah. It says every woman that is mizanah.
Right,
that doesn't mean it's mutter.
These are the three people that it's mutter for, however it's mutter for.
Yeah. So Rashi's sheet is like this. So Beikar, this is a machlekes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi learns that these three women, he addresses the first question. He doesn't clearly say around the second question. Rashi says the following. Only these three women are permitted to use a moch because pregnancy is besakana. Any other case, a moch is forbidden, is usher minatayra, because of the iser of hashchasas zera. In other words, Rashi learns, right, there's an iser in the Torah, and he's not the favorites in the Torah, but we have in Russia, that you're not allowed to be mashchis zera. We learned that out. There are two different Torahs. One makor is the mice of Er v'Einan, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed Er and killed Einan because they ejaculated outside of the body of their wife, Tamar. And that is called Hashchasas Zera. And Menela, when you're Meshamesh Mamaich, that is Hashchasas Zera. Because it's like Eitzim V'Avonim. So here's the question. So the interesting question is this. The interesting question is, if Rashi says to be Meshamesh Mamaich is like being Mashlech Zara, Aleitzim V'Avonim, so what is the heter for the three women? Now you're telling me the heter for the three women is that for them to get pregnant would be Pikuach Nefesh. So don't be butted.
The man is in this.
Yeah, in other words, what's the heter here? In other words, like this. Granted that it's Pikuach Nefesh for them to get pregnant, but how is that a heter for me to do something that is Hashchasas Zera? It's like saying, if you have these three women, would a person be allowed to masturbate since it's dangerous to get them pregnant, so a person could be minor. So the question is this. The question is, Rashi does not address the second Yikud. Are we talking about a mice before or a mice after? So, in order to understand this a little better, let's look at Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says the following halacha. Rabbeinu Tam says, and this is really what Shomer said, that the meaning of moch is what a woman does after tashrish. And if a woman does it after tashrish, for sure, there is no issue regarding the man doing any iser. The man was Mishamesh Kedarka. And even if the man knows that at the end of the day, his zera is not going to produce a pregnancy, as long as he's Mishamesh Kedarka and there's no blockage, it's not worse than being with a Shekhana or an Eilis. That's the first enough. Which means a man is allowed to be Mishamesh Kedarka even if the woman is going to take a morning after pill or a moch or anything else. He knows that there's not going to be a pregnancy. That's not a problem. If you're Mishamesh Kedarka, that's like Sakana Island. If the Torah is not Asher, intercourse with an island. That's the first Tanakh. So mitzad the man, a moch achar tashmish is never a problem. What about mitzad the woman? So here Rabbeinu Tam has a very interesting Kiddush. Rabbeinu Tam says, women have no iser of hashchasas zera, because hashchasas zera is simply the negative flip side of the mitzvah of pruervu. Pruervu is the mitzvah to have children. Hashchasas zera is the prohibition of destroying the potential to have children. Since we paskin, women are not mitzuve on the mitzvah of Purim Urvu. Zakt Rabbeinu Tam, a chiddush, this is a chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam, women are not mitzuve on being mashkes zera. Therefore, Rabbeinu Tam learns this way. Legabe emoch achar tashmish, any woman and any man can use emoch achar tashmish, because mitzad the man, he was mishamesh kedarko, and mitzad the woman, a woman is not mitzuvah on ashkasas. And the only malyusa of the three women is they are mechuyev. Right, so that's how we look. Three women must. Any other woman need not, but is permitted to do so. And this is how Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam's sheet, at least, is very, very clear, because Rabbeinu Tam is based on two ideas. Idea number one is, if a man is mishamesh kedarkai with no impediment, even if he knows that at the end of the day there's not going to be a pregnancy.
So he needs, so Rabbeinu Tam is matter. Regular birth control pills.
Well, okay, I'll get to that in a moment. In other words, matir is a bit of an unusual question, meaning Rabbeinu Tam will maintain that it's not hashchasas zera. Now, it still is a bitul mitzvah saseh of puri viribi. So a man is normally not allowed to simply, a man has to have children. So there's a bitul of puri viribi.
He's not doing that. That's his wife is saying.
Yeah, I understand, but he can't stay married to a woman who's going to be on permanent birth control pills. I mean, how is he going to do his mitzvah approval?
Temporary.
Right, it could be, like Rabbeinu Tam. I mean, the issue, because in general, are you allowed to defer a mitzvah? That's a general question. Right? Yeah. It could be that deferring a mitzvah is not so chomer. Now, here's the question, though. So Rabbeinu Tam learns a moch achar tashmish does not involve any problem of hashchasas zera mitzad the man. And mitzad the woman, there's no problem, because although she is mashchis zera, but women are not mitzuga on hashchasas zera, because Rabbeinu Tam holds that hashchasas zera is totally on the mitzvah of piria beribi.
So he learns these women, they're mechuyev to use dafka moch or to not get pregnant.
No, not get pregnant. Moch is no. But here's the thing. Let's go back a little bit. What would Rabbeinu Tam say about using a moch before tashmish? It would seem that Rabbeinu Tam would absolutely ask it a moch before tashmish, even for the three women.
Because the man is going to be.
Because the man would be guilty of being mashkes zera, and it's no defense for the man to say, I have to be mashkes zera, because otherwise my wife is going to be in sakana. We say, no, you don't have tashmish, or use a moch after tashmish. Right, so it turns out that Rabbeinu Tam is a kula and a chumra. On one hand, Rabbeinu Tam would permit any type of contraception, either afterwards or even before. But you're right, birth control before is just as good, because Rabbeinu Tam's nekuda is that as long as the man's tashmish is not interrupted, it's not hashchasas zera. So that could be a moch achar tashmish, or with today's technology, that could be medications that a woman takes that is not blocking the sperm. Now, spermicide might be different, but a birth control pill that prevents ovulation, certainly, it's hard to hear that would be hashchasas zera because the husband is by
the woman. No, chomer matan the woman. The woman is the same thing regardless.
Yeah, the woman is the same. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So, Mimela, it turns out the Rabbeinu Tam, however, would not hear things like I don't want to say diagram, that's a shadow of how much of a blockage is a blockage, but things that block the zera, impede the zera from entering the woman's body. A condom would be an absolute example. According to Rabbeinu Tam, there would be no heter at all. Rabbeinu Tam learns that's beside the man, that is pure and simple hashchasas zera, and that's not even much of a makom pikuach nefesh, because you don't have to do it. You can either do it after tashrish, or don't be butter. Like, there's no other being butter. Right? So that's shita of Rabbeinu Tam.
It also seems to make sense why even for the fetus and even the very young fetus, because you're not over any isser here, So Vali Mechuyev, even for the smallest chance of saving it, even right. if you don't have to give it the get of a nefesh even.
That's correct. Because since according to Rabbeinu Tam, there is no Isser in the Mochash Tashmesh. So whatever, so anybody can do it. So whatever the Chashash is, you're Mechuyev to do it at that point. Now that's Rabbeinu Tam. Now the question is, Rashi. So Rabbeinu Tam learns these three women must, other women may, but they don't have to. Rashi learns these three women are permitted, and he also means they're obligated, but they're permitted. Other women are forbidden. Now the question is, okay, what are these women permitted that other women are forbidden? Is Rashi learning like Rabbeinu Tam that it's still a moch achar tashmish? And the chiddush would be, that shalom amakim pikuach nefesh, even women have an isra of hashkas asera? Or is Rashi learning that we're talking about a moch before tashmish? Meaning, what is Rashi's scenario in which he says the three women are permitted and the other women are going to be asked? So let's look at the lesson. Yeah.
Rashi doesn't mention hashkas asera here. Is it an inference on Rashi, or is Tosfos getting it from Rashi in Middah? Or did I miss a Rashi?
Let's see the Rashi here. This is Beis.
Tosfos brings Rashi and says that that's what he says, but is that based on Nida?
Yeah, Tosfos brings Avoshar Nashim Asher Mishon Hashkas Asera Kavdav Zulam Mifkid Akrei Vivia Vachay Nashim Nida Nashim Lab Nashim Nashim Good hora, but before we get to what you said, so look at Meshamshas Pemarsh. This is your base of the base. So Rashi says Meshamshas Pemarsh, Mutaras, Lasseis Moch, Bemachal Tashmish, Kishahain Mishamshas, Kidei Shalo Yisabu. So Lachaira, Kishahain Mishamshas is Mashma. That the moch is there, bishas tashmish. Yeah, I think that's the fair reading of those words. Kishehein bishamshas. That's indeed how Rashi is generally understood. So Rashi learns that these three women are mutares to have a moch in place at the time of tashmish.
It's also tally on the word in the Gemara, Misham Shos B'moch. According to Rashi, Misham Shos is Tashmish Amita, and according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's just you're using a moch.
Very excellent. That's a very good horror. That the word Misham Shos is an ambiguous word. It could mean they can use a moch, or they can have relations with the moch. So the point is, Rashi learns they have relations with the moch. Rabbeinu Tam would have to learn they use a moch, and it's referring to what they do afterwards. Yeah, that's a good heart. That's a nice connection. That mishamshes. Is it mishamshes? Do we use mishamshes? I'm not sure about that. Grammatically, do we use mishamshes or mishamshes? Are they two different words?
In modern Hebrew, they do use it like that, but I don't think that.
What?
In modern Hebrew, they do use the Shamesh Ber like that, but I don't know if.
Okay, we'll have to check the grammar. It's a good order. Maybe.
Check out Jasper.
Maybe there was even another Gerson. Maybe there's Gerson Bishamesh. It would be interesting to check. Now, there's a. That would be fascinating. This would be an example where a little bit of a change of a Gerson could be a different translation. Now, there is a. There was a great saying of the book. The only complete manuscript we have of the Babylonian Talmud, it's called the Munich manuscript. I don't know if it's still there, but it was in Munich in the 19th century. So there was a rabbi, a literature rabbi who went, and he published a shas based on the Munich manuscript with many, many notes. This is called Dikduke Seifer. And the reception of the Dikduke Seifer was a bit mixed. On one end, there were kama v'kama gedolim that were mishabeach this work, and they said it's gevaldik, and you can see how it is, you can understand. Rishayim, based on these different girsos and the like. Then you had other gedolim like the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish was well known. Chazanish never liked newly discovered Gersois. He says, you know, we worked with the Messiah, that was Makubal, and he says, just because you find a new Gersa, well, maybe the reason it wasn't discovered was because it was like, it was Meshuggish, a place in Seamus, right? So it's like somebody goes to a Seamus and puzzles the great Torah and says, oh, this is the right one because we find it. He says, who cares? If something was not around for hundreds and hundreds of years. So that's a big machlokas. Some people are much of the same for a lot. Some people don't. I mean, the editor was a big time partner, his name was somewhere not supportive of that particular endeavor. But this would be a good example. I'm going to check that because what you're saying is a nice horror.
The Chazon Ish said the same thing about the new Rishon, when they discovered new Rishon.
That's correct.
Because Hashkacha made it that we didn't have them, right. So we shouldn't.
The Chazon Ish basically said that halacha cannot be based on any newly discovered Rishonim because it was part of the Hashkacha that the Beis Yosef only saw. The Beis Yosef only saw two Rishonim, and there are 30 Rishonim that are fater. You can't say, oh, the Beis Yosef would have changed his mind. HaKadosh Baruch Hu determined what the Beis Yosef would say, and well, that becomes halacha. That's the Chazon Ish. Now, Mamaisa, you know, that's a famous tegubah of the Chazon Ish on all of these newly discovered things. On the other hand, Rav Avadya is as devoted a chassid of Rav Yosef Karo as exists. Like he basically says, got to go with Rav Yosef Karo, not like the Ari, not like the Benish Padas. Yes, there is some Cairo, but there are a kind of upon him that, you know, he has newly discovered Rishonim, and he says, if Rav Yosef Cairo, the Mechaber, would have been aware of these, he surely would have been Chazir. So he's willing to even to say that to go to the Mechaber based on Rishonim that are discovered. That's a big machlokes generally, how do you work with those of your size and the like.
In other words, brought two reasons to bring it down. One is that he could always use the milk after, but the other one, in terms of that he doesn't have the tashmish, he doesn't have the tashmish at all. Do we look at tashmish and hashachas there as the same exact thing? Is there, was there a separation where you say the person involved with tashmish is not necessarily, he doesn't get to that last step, but once he's involved, at that point it becomes
that may be a malach and rashi. Rabbeinu Tam seems to learn by Rabbeinu Tam making the whole sugya milchach and tashmish.
Because of that reason.
The other reason. No. It's all about Talia. Meaning to say that any tashmish on the mic is eitzim rabbanim.
Because you could do it afterwards. I'm talking about the other reason.
Even if you couldn't do it afterwards, in other words, b'yetzim, the zera is not entering the woman's body, so it's hashkasa zera. That's hashkasa zera. Like a condom, right? To use a condom. Now. Yeah.
Sorry, just one more thing. Are we talking here, we're talking about the moth, we're talking about something which is blocking all the zera? Because the mistake it wasn't.
Well, the chayrit has to block everything. Otherwise, you still have your sakana. The sakana is...
No, but you're doing what you can to avoid, right? So let's say it's a... I'm just wondering, this might be a way to, you know, to make it not so bad when you're talking about pikuach net. That really, you know, you can't say it's asa because it's not mamash, you know, you're not getting rid of any chance of pregnancy, but... I'm just wondering if we're assuming over here that this moch is 100% effective.
I think that's our assumption. I don't know. It's probably, if you're asking realistically, it probably is not 100%.
So we're working on the basis.
But halacha is based on the assumption. Now,
and same with Rabbeinu Tam.
Yeah.
Afterwards, you can't get 100% of it out. So.
Well, that's Shibakasha and Rabbeinu Tam. The assumption is that.
Somehow you can. It's a morning after pill.
Yeah, it's a morning after pill on some level. So here's the question on Rashi. This is where what you're saying may come back again. And that is, okay, if we learn Rashi as the Lashon seems to suggest, that it's a mosh before tashmish, so other women are forbidden. And Rashi doesn't say why, you're right. But the three women are permitted. Now, if we would go with Tysus's understanding of Rashi, you're right. Where did Tysus get that? How much? That the problem is Hashchas Hazera. And you're right, you don't 100% see that from Rashi. So the question is, why would the three women be permitted? I mean, the same argument we said in Rebbe Yotam. Do it afterwards or don't do it at all. So apparently, Rashi in Lumdus goes with the new Svara. And Rashi says, taking Rebbe Yotam but going right to Rebbe Yotam's getter is, if it's Derech Tashmish, it's not Hashchas Hazera. That's Rebbe Yotam. So Rashi goes one step beyond it by saying, Derech Tashmish is not Hashchas Hazera. And for women, for whom pregnancy is Sakana, Shemesh B'mayt has a din of Derech Tashmish. See, Rebbe Yotam wouldn't say that because Rebbe Yotam learns Derech Tashmish is a very literal idea. Derech Tashmish is unimpeded entry of the Zera. But it could be that Rashi learns it in a more figurative, almost metaphorical way. That is, the Torah clearly is not going to forbid you to have a marital relationship with a woman. Like your person has a wife, so there's a chi of Aina. So you're allowed to have Aina Derech Tashmish. So for women for whom pregnancy is a sakana, the Derech Tashmish is Mamayach. And that gufa, which would otherwise be Hashchas Hazera, but that gufa is Derech Tashmish. I mean, that would chayav be the getter of Rashi. And that's why abstinence is not an option. In other words, you're not mechuyev to abstain because pregnancy is a danger. Rather, you have the tashmish to the degree you're able to have tashmish without a sakana. Now, it could be that Rashi would not matter, in fact, it's mistarva, that Rashi would not matter a condom, even for the gimel nashim, because a moch is a little better. A moch, the zera enters, you know, part of the body. So there are going to be levels. But you have tashmish as much as you're able to have without a sakana. And that would be the heter of the gimel nashim.
Does Rashi not deal with the moch he can use afterwards? Does he just not deal with the thing? When he says that's not what a moch is, was, if he had an option, would that be better?
Right. The question is, what does Rashi do with the possibility of a moch after
attachment?
So it could be, yeah, number one, it's not what a moch is. Number two, it could be that Rashi holds, maybe, that a moch after attachment is less effective. It's not 100%. And in Mela, we're not going to say it's forbidden to do it before because you could do it afterwards. If doing it afterwards wouldn't divert the danger. And that could be just all about this.
Or it could be that he holds that it would also be good.
Well, that's the question. See, the question is, if a moch achar tashmish would be a permissible eitza, then why would we permit a moch before tashmish? Right. In other words, what I'm saying is, what makes a moch before tashmish derech tashmish is because it's the only way you can have tashmish. Right? But if it's not the only way, you know, it's not borrowed, that would be called derech tashmish. So this is a different getter. So it's not like, see, this is a different getter. It's not the pshat.
You couldn't say that he would hold it even a moch before tashmish. You couldn't say that. Even a moch before tashmish is good.
But I think that would be schwer, because if the moch achar tashmish is an option, then... See, here's the thing. According to what we're saying in Rashi, it's not the pshat. You could have learned in Rashi. I mean, the way you learn the Gemara Stamazai is, Hashchas Hazera is an Aveira, but you're allowed to be Oiver on Hashchas Hazera for Pikuach Nefesh. That's not what Rashi said. Because if the pshat would be, you're allowed to be over an Hashchas Hazera for Pikuach Nefesh, I would say, don't be Hashchas Hazera. Right? In other words, the Pikuach Nefesh is not forcing you to be Hashchas Hazera. It's not like, somebody went with a gun to my head and said, be Hashchas Hazera or I'll kill you, so maybe, you could be over Hashchas Hazera for Pikuach Nefesh. That's not so much either. It might be Abizrayo, the Gilei Arayot. But it's not the pshat here. The pshat is a different pshat. The pshat is, when it's a pikuach nefesh for a woman to become pregnant, the derech tashmish is to be mishamish b'mayich, so it's not called tashmish. nachas aser. This is not the din of pikuach nefesh b'chol ha'tayrah kula. This is a din in what is defining hashchas aser. In other words, these are like opposites. The opposite of hashchas aser is tashmish kedarko. Tashmish kedarko is not hashchas aser. What is darko? So for women who are capable of getting pregnant without danger, kedarka is unimpeded. For women for whom pregnancy is dangerous, tashmish kedarko is with a mum. See, this is important to say. This is not the din that pikuach nefesh is deiche isur. This is the din that pikuach nefesh defines what is tashmish kedarka. Now, that nekuda, Rabbeinu Tam will be cholik. Rabbeinu Tam says, Tashmish Kedarka is a metzius. Tashmish Kedarka means the zera is not blocked. If the zera is blocked, that is not Tashmish Kedarka. Elamai, you want to give a heter because of Bikuach Nevesh? Dr. Rabbeinu Tam, you can do it afterwards, or don't do it at all. See, so that's really the machlech. The machlech Rashi tells us ultimately is the gimel nashim the kala tera kula dikehetir of pikuach nefesh, or is it a redefinition of what is called tashmish kedarka?
Rashi doesn't say anything about tashmish kedarka.
Well, the problem is Rashi doesn't say the words hashchas aser. I mean, the problem basically is the only thing Rashi tells us is that we're talking about in most before Tashmish.
And it's mutter.
The Gimel Nashim are mutter, and other women are us. That's all. There's that much enough. Rashi does not tell you why other women are us. Taisus quotes Rashi, or at least it's not good, it's a quote, or it's an interpolation, that the problem is Hashchasas Zera. And that's how the Mishanim understand Rashi, but you were correct in pointing out that Rashi himself hasn't said. Are there other possibilities? What are the other possibilities? Let's assume we factor out Hashchasas Zera. So are we simply dealing with maybe a Bidla Sey of Purur, or maybe that's not what we're talking about?
Because he says it's winter for the women. He's not talking about the men at all. Rashi doesn't talk about the men at all. He just says it's winter for the women to use it.
No, I understand, but here's the question. Well, okay. So
he doesn't talk about the men at all.
What's the implication for the men? But how somehow the man is being mishamish into the moch. So what
it could be, but it could be. Maybe he doesn't even know about it. He says he even knows.
He doesn't know.
That's another issue. I mean, or maybe he doesn't have to know. She doesn't have to tell him. Maybe it's not his business. That's not his business.
And if he so what are you saying? If he know it would be us. If he know
Kenza. Well, no, I know, probably not, but Kenza.
Okay. Oh, just a question. Are we saying that this is how we're learning Rashi, that he's talking about a mo, specifically a mo that is before, or
the lashon of Rashi seems to be fairly clear that it's a mo before. That seems to be the simple mashmash.
Even though we're not sure what the lashon of the word mashmash.
No, we're not sure in the Gemara. Rashi's lashon is that it's the Gemara itself, the shap just belongs to me, they use mo. Rashi says bishap. Rashi
says,
Bisha,
Bisha Shem
Hashem. So clearly, that means intercourse,
because the word Bisha Shem Hashem. Would this be another, if a woman, Chas knows that she's going to be raped?
Yeah.
So, if she is allowed to use a moch, meaning if she has no Issa of Hashchas Zera, so shouldn't be a problem.
According to Rabbeinu Tam, now we don't know what Rashi holds by a woman directly, according to Rabbeinu Tam, since women have no Issa of Hashchas Zera, so mitzad the woman,
she can.
Tashmish, there would be no
right. Oh, that's obvious because he says everyone else is mutter, whereas Rashi wouldn't allow such a thing.
But the chiddush is that, according to what you're saying, it would be mutter even before Tashmish.
Right, absolutely.
Even beforehand.
I mean, Rashi could say that just the derech that he knows he's doing it in the makom and mitzvah, whatever. Yeah. In that place, and that's there, and whatever else is there is beyond. That's beyond the man's responsibility.
But in other words, is your point that he doesn't know?
Even if he knows, I'm saying even if he knows,
that's not called Aleitz Olva.
Because he didn't do the Maisa of Hashkasa.
Right. So that would be Mutter for everyone.
So that would be Mutter.
Yeah. I'm rushing to say that.
So what's the issue for the other women? Only the, so what is issue for the other women? She, you're telling me the man never has a problem.
Right. The man never has a problem.
Okay.
So you say what's
so
the
issue? So what about the other women? Right. So the three women can do it. The other women cannot do it.
Because
why can't they do it?
Because they're preventing. They're preventing.
They're preventing
the purity of purity.
In other words, they're preventing him from doing a mitzvah.
Right.
So the other women cannot do this because they're frustrating the mitzvah. But when it's dangerous, they're allowed to frustrate that mitzvah.
Right.
And Hashkasa Zera, you know, that you're offering an alternative to Taisos, that the issue here is not Hashkasa Zera, because maybe...
No, I'm just offering the interpretation of Rashi, that's all. Taisos says whatever he says.
No, I understand. But Taisos understands
Rashi. Oh, the way he understands Rashi.
You want to say... that maybe the issue is just bittul period. In other words, you want to say that Rashi maintains that every that it's always derech tashmish,
right.
even for the non-three women, except for the bittul.
Right.
Yeah, that's a possibility. That's a possibility.
Because you say that even if he knows, I mean, if she has put a mochim before, she becomes a chefzer beitzim avalim. I mean, he knows.
That's how we're learning. That's how we were learning. That's how
I'm just wondering how he didn't know nothing.
But Rav Shlomo was trying to say that. Since he's doing it derech tashmish, so she's not an Eitzim Vavon. I mean, he's with his wife, you know.
But it's mashchis zera. I mean, the whole point is that the zera is not going to be used.
Well, that's not the point, because the raya, once again, is a kaina. I mean, there is a musa of tashmish kedarka.
Yeah.
The only question is, how vite do you go with tashmish kedarka? Right. Do you want to say, in other words, I was saying Rashi only meant his Tashmish Kedarka for the Sukkanas. You're saying maybe if Rashi owes his Tashmish Kedarka Lagarmi. That's a possibility. You're only looking at period of Ribi. Yeah. Again, the way Taisus learns Rashi is not like you. But you're right. Rashi is Russian himself. It's not bringing in the words. You're correct in pointing
out. We're separating the act of Tashmish and the after effects.
Right. Right.
That's
correct. That's correct. Okay, I know Rabbi Kibeger is a tshuva. I'm trying to think, I have to go back to tshuva, because he has a lashon there that now doesn't fit based on this explanation. Can a woman, he has a shayla, can a woman be mishameshes b'moch before tashmish when it's a sakana for her to be leisaber? She allowed to do a pre-tashmish moch.
What does that mean?
No, a moch before tashmish. You put in a moch before tashmish.
You mean like Rashi?
Yeah, okay. So Rashi Baker says that there's no Rishai who would matter this. So what does she mean? I mean, the Chora Rashi would matter it. That's Rashi Shita. Before tashmish. Unless he was learning that. You say that this is only when the husband doesn't know. Moshein came if he knows. It would be Hashkasa Zera. I don't know. I have to go back and check the Shulchan. You can check it also. I think it's Reish Bakal. Okay. Alrighty. So this is the instance of Kitchen. These are really the two major sheets, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. In terms of Rabibi. And then the Gemara explains this. Yes, there's a few more lines. Eizo hi kitana. This is the critical thing. We say by a kitana, two things. Maybe she will get pregnant, and maybe she will die as a result of the pregnancy. What is the katana that is in this danger zone? Vivas achas esrei shana v'yaynechat ad shtein esrei shana v'yaynechat. It's a very narrow window. She is between 11 and 12, and either her father married her off, or Nian, whatever it is. So in the danger zone of 11 to 12, a pregnancy might kill her. And then you're mishabish b'mayim. By the way, this thing about, I know this is pashut, but I say it because it's, when I was writing so much training, this question always comes up. People like to be smart. You know, it says, a person is bar mitzvah when he's yodim ol shanim b'yayim nachat. So people always ask the question, and, oh, can I make a bar mitzvah on my son's 13th birthday? Because he's not 13 years and one day. But that's a big touch. You are actually, you complete your year the day before. In other words, you have completed 13 years the day before your 13th birthday.
That's true.
So by the time it's your 13th birthday, this is the beginning of your 14th year. Mm-hmm. And mitzvah seyem kikula, that you don't need a whole day, right? So for sure, you can make a bar mitzvah on your 13th birthday.
Halakhically, you can get an aliyah when he's 7.
No, I understand, that's a 7. Whatever you put, to daven for the yomer, to blow, whatever, to make kiddush, whatever it is. In other words, not just an aliyah, they also, whatever. But the question is, when are you a gadol? So the answer is, you are a gadol on your 13th birthday. It's not the day after your 13th birthday. Same thing with a girl. When a girl is a gadola, a naira, assuming she has simanim of nairas, a boy also, 12 and a day. So it's the 12th birthday, that's what it means, the 12th birthday. So from her 11th birthday to her 12th birthday, that is a sakana. Pachais mikan. If one is having relations with a girl younger than 11, oh yes or okay, or more than 12, or she's not a katana at that point, that's above the zach, why is it yes or okay? Mishameshas kidarka kohailachas. It's permitted. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Why? Because younger than 11, you don't have to assume she will get pregnant. And older than 12, even if she would be pregnant, it would be derech klal, not be a sakana.
Under 11, you don't have to assume it, or it's physically impossible.
Well, it's not physically impossible.
I know in reality it's not. But yeah. I tell you the halacha or
seems that it's considered to be so rachik that you don't have to assume it. Right. But even though it's because now it's a mugging thing that you know, now the thing is, I believe the youngest
five-year-old.
It's become more and more the menstruation is getting more much.
A five-year-old pregnant, but she survived, or she was killed.
She survived. I saw a picture with her baby. It's like a dog.
No. Yeah. Where was this? What country?
I think Uruguay or something. Like that. It's not that. That's Dibur Rav Meir. Now, what's interesting is the Chachamim are chaylik. Now, what did the Chachamim say? And everything we said was the Dibur Rav Meir was going on the whole brisa. The Chachamim Aimrim, Zu Vizu, Misham Shes Kedarkin. Now, what is Zu Vizu going on? Also in my
there's no shir today, I think. Rabbi Reisman, every other day.
Mishamshas kidarkan, v'halchas, v'min ha-shamayim, v'shenemar, shaymer p'sayim Hashem. Now this rule, shaymer p'sayim Hashem, Hashem protects foolish people. It's an interesting klal that Chazal use sometimes. That is, the types of risks that people take, right? You go on a bus, you go in a car, especially in Shalai, we drive around. So, on one hand, we have this halacha, you're not allowed to put yourself in sakana. You know, if you wanted to not put yourself in sakana, you would not get out of bed in the morning. And even if you stay in bed, you're in sakana. In Washington, D.C., I remember a few years ago, Naturo was killed in his village. It was like drug war outside of his house, and they lived in these very cheap houses. Bullet goes through the wall. Kills a kid in bed. Elamai, so what's the getter? The getter is, it's very, very mutton together. The getter is that those sakanes that people are makabel as part of the ordinary way they live their life, you're entitled to say the Eibishter will protect you. So people accept driving, going on a bus, they accept them as normal, even though statistically you're machnis yourself into a certain sakana, you're allowed to be sober. They said this by cigarettes at one time, that's a little bit of a controversy, but when, even after it was on scala, then cigarettes create, you know, the risks of lung cancer and emphysema. But until there was a widespread condom, you're not mechayev to read Prevention Magazine and that kind of be machmer on every little thing, you know, like can't eat this because God is this. But, you know, if the belt is metabolic, there's an Indian shemer b'sayim Hashem. But at some point, when the sakana becomes so clear and so well known, you no longer have shemer b'sayim Hashem. So the chachamim say, Zu v'zu b'shamshes. Now, what is zu v'zu going on? It's also machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim learn that zu v'zu is only going on the category of katana. It's going on the last thing Rabbi Meir said. In other words, Rabbi Meir said, what is a katana? The girl between 11 and 12. Because before 11 is, she's not going to get pregnant. But 11 to 12 is the danger zone, 12 is safe. So the zubazoo is no. Kishayim, that you can do it before 11 or after 12, you can do it in that year, because that's Shemra B'Sayim Hashem. But the Chachamim are moda for the Meinekes and for the Muberes, yeah. The Meinekes and the Muberes, that you have to be Mishamish B'Mach, meaning you're only Chaylik HaKitana. Others learn that Bichlal, for all the Gibbon Nashim, they basically say that there's Shemr P'Sayim Hashem, which would have to mean, though, again, empirically, it would have to mean that the Sarkanas are remote Sarkanas. They are Sarkanas that most people are not Choshesh for. So even though statistically there is a problem, they don't have to use law. Now, according to Rashi, that would mean that the Chachamim say it is forbidden to use a moch. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it would just mean they don't have to, but they're allowed to, because every woman is allowed to. It'll be the same machlokas in the Chachamim.
Could you medayek in the Lashon ahadzo, or referring to zo vezo, is two, and if they're arguing in three, they would have said Bikula.
Yes. So what would the two be?
Before 11 and the danger zone. Because after 12, not Leish Mandapali, that's not an issue. So it's just two issues.
So you're saying the Mashmais of Zuzu is Mashma that they're comparing two things, and the two things would be just like before 11 is Mundur, so after 11 is also. Yeah, I hear that. That would mean that there might be by Muberes and Meinekes. That you cannot, that you do the Mishamshis moment. Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. But now the Gemara is bringing this Raisa in for really a peripheral question, which is a question on the Mishnah. That is, Michnach. Now, Mitika Amar. Since Rabbi Meir said that by a katana, a girl of 11, Shema Tisavir, the Shema talks. Maybe she will get pregnant, and maybe if she gets pregnant, she will die. That's only a maybe. Nichlal, diika katana, dimiyabra v'lomes. In other words, in the 11 to 12 range, some Mitanos might give birth, and they won't die. It's a possibility. So Fred Deratasha in K, Matsinu Chanos Mimaenes, Utsanan, Iatayoch Alaima, Bechamaisai, Rien Chamir, Shinitsu Islandis, Oshimiyam. Right, what's the Kasha? The Mishnah said by Tsaras Erba that if the Erba was divorced, or the Erba was Mimaenes, or the Erba died, or the Erba was Nimtzu Idleness, or condition of life, the Tsar is mutter, as long as all of this happened before the brother died. But then the Mishnah said that with respect to your mother-in-law, let's say one brother marries the daughter and one brother marries the mother. So vis-a-vis the brother who married the daughter, that wife is Chamosa, his mother-in-law. When his brother dies, the Chamaisai asks the Tsaras Erba. So it says, there's no way that the Tsara of a Chamaisai is going to be mutter because the Tsara is Yaitan, because the Chamaisai was Yatsan of Mian. Because Mian is only Shayach by a Kitana that was married off by her mother or brothers. And if you married this woman's daughter, she couldn't have been a Kitana. Right, that's what the Mishnah says. And therefore, Mion is not Shayach by Chamosa. But if you say that there is at least a remote possibility that a girl who's younger than 12 could give birth to a child, so imagine this scenario. The scenario is still a very unusual case. Talk about a true child bride. Let's say a woman gets married. A woman is the assignment by her father. The assignment Chayyot makes no difference. A woman gets married with Kedushay Mion to Reuben. And maybe she got married at 5, 6, 7, 8, makes no difference. He gets her pregnant at age 11. She gives birth, let's say, at 11 and 9 months. This newborn baby is then married off by her father, who's the brother, to Shimon. So Shimon marries a baby. Shimon marries a baby. So it's still possible for his mother-in-law to be Mima'enes because she hasn't reached the age of 12. And in such a situation, Shimon would be able to be Miyabeh, the Tzara of his mother-in-law, because his mother-in-law was Yaitseis. So Bishlama, if you took the position that it's impossible for an 11-year-old to give birth to a live baby, she will always die, then it wouldn't be Shayach. But if it's only a Safek, then at least in principle, the Mishnah should not use the word Eifshar. Eifshar, that's a crazy case, to be sure. Of course, you run into still some crazy cases. But to say, Eyatoyachalomar, you can't say, you could say. Right, so why does the Mishnah say, all right, so Bishlama, Eim Chamev, right, listen, the 11-year-old can't be above the Erezeini, that's for sure. So to be the mother of your father, that you're not going to have. But at least a chamosa that you can have, right?
No, so if the 5-year-old could give birth, if her daughter could give birth at 5, she could be.
But even in the Gemara's kasha, the Gemara was not asking she'll give birth at 5. The Gemara said give birth at 11.
I understand that.
Yeah. So the Gemara, Hashem and Desire of Shabbat Thomas, the Chalal Dita Ketan of the Yad of Lamesa, in Kei Marcino Chomas from Ma'edas. Utsran, Yetzai Yachalai, Rav Chomas, 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 Rav Chomas. So again, we're just quoting the Gemara. So Rav Safra gives the Teretz. Bonim, Harei Hein Kisimanim, Kulaymar, Ketana Sheyolda, Kinaira, Sheyavia Simanim Damya Ve'ena Mimahenes. Meaning like this. When the Mishnah says you can't have a Chamaisai that's Mimahenes, that's not denying the possibility that a woman might give birth when she's 11 years old before her 12th birthday. But even if that happened, she wouldn't be able to be Yetzis B'Mian. Because Mian only works, calls him on a woman is a Ketana. And Bonim, the act of giving birth, not pregnancy, but birth, parturition, birth, is equivalent to the simanim that make a woman a naira. Now, let's just understand this very simply. You understand, everyone has to know, it's important to learn, that what makes a person a gadol for a man or a naira for a girl is a combination of two things. It is age and a certain stage of physical development. That is shtei sairus, and the shtei sairus would normally be located in the pubic area. And Alibidiemis, the only reason a bar mitzvah boy, let's say, is allowed to say kiddush or whatever it is because the Gemara says most people who reach that age have shtei sairus, and that's called a chazaka of Rava. Rava says it in Maseches Nida. And the price can bring down a number of places. That we're only Simech and Chazaka de Rava for a mitzvah de Rabbanan and not for a mitzvah de Araisa. So, for example, to have a bar mitzvah boy blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah, can't do it, except on the second day. On the first day of Rosh Hashanah, where it's a chiyuv de Araisa, can't do it. With Kiddush, we let him make because we paskin that the Araisa were Yotzei in Shmon Yesrei or whatever it is. Now, if the bar mitzvah boy is shaving, already has hair in his face, then we know by definition he has progressed. But if he's not shaving, the parents have to know. The parents have to say what his situation is, or whatever. Now, the same thing with the girl. What makes a girl a naira is not automatically reaching the age of 12, but it's simanim. So I don't get this here.
This is halacha that you don't pull out of the rest of the
supply. That's right. Mr. Berman, there's a number of places. People got it on all the places today. So, I don't get this. These are called simanim. So Rav Safra says, banim are like simanim. Well, so what? If an 11-year-old had simanim, she wouldn't be a naira until she's 12. So what do you mean, bonim are like simanim? Even if you say that bonim are as good as shtei sairus, maybe they're better than shtei sairus, but if you need simanim at age, you don't have the age. So the Gemara means what? So it means bonim, that doesn't say it. Bonim are equal to shonim and simanim. That's what it means. In other words, bonim automatically make a girl a naira. She is a naira, but bonim, no matter how young she is, though it happens to be, Chazal said it wouldn't be possible below 11. But essentially, in the 11 to 12 year old period, this is accelerated maturity. I mean, it makes sense that giving birth to a child will do that. But all I'm saying is, the Lashon of the Gemara is a little short. Because if all you're doing is equating bonim and simanim, that's not going to get you there. You have to say this is super simanim. This is better than that. Okay, we'll come back to that. And therefore she can't be mema'enes. Now, by the way, this also needs a little. This is also not the most obvious thing in the world. Why can't she be mema'enes? Because she's a gadola. But so what? The kedushin was still drabanan. I mean, what happened here? She was married off as a ketana. Let's ask a stop question. A girl is married off as a katana by her brothers, so it's Kedushin Durabanan Babiya. She now becomes 12 years old and has simanim. She cannot be mema'enes. Well, why is that? There was not a Kedushin. I mean, the only marriage she had was a Kedushin Durabanan because she was a katana at the time.
She was a miller.
That depends. Is it only because that's the question? So if there was bia after she became a gadola, so there is a possible svara, ein adam aisa bi lase bi lasnus, and he's bial the shem kedushin, and that upgrades into a daraisa. But the MS is, we actually pass it.
But he's thinking he's already made kedushin. So he has to know that he wants to upgrade from darabanan to the daraisa.
Well, the assumption is that he would know that because he knows she can leave me. But the emphasis, halacha doesn't have to be that. Halacha, there is a special din, maybe because people would be confused with bia and not bia. There is a special din that even if the husband did nothing from the time she became a gedolah. Nothing at all. The ability to have being terminates when she becomes a gedolah. Now, it could very well be because people wouldn't know if he had bia or didn't have bia.
The Rabbanim took away their power of being
Bokir.
Right. They said, we're putting this thing at this point, but after we're taking that ability to do that.
That ability is taken away when she becomes a gedolah. And Mimela, Banim are Kesimanim, so she becomes a gedolah. And that's why Chaboso cannot be Mimaenas. Once she gives birth, your mother-in-law cannot be Yitzis B'min, even if she's only 11 and 9 months or whatever. Now, Igidi Amri, some people phrase Rav Safra in a different way. Amar Rav Safra, Banim Adifi Misimanim. Instead of saying Banim equals Simanim, that's a little short, because even that had to mean it was better, but he says, Banim are better than Simon. What do I mean by better? My nafkamina. Afilu l'Rabbi Yehuda d'Amar ad sheyarbe hashachor al halavan b'banim maida maida. So what does that mean? We have a machlokes. What are the simanim that make a naira, a katana maker a naira? Shtei Cyrus? That's one opinion. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not enough. You have to have more shocha than love. Now, love in your oven does not mean white hair. I know people don't have this translated. It means that the area that is covered, love on is the skin, and shocha is the hair. So it's like a shirt. It has to be sultan meruba mechanta, that more area has to have hair that is not covered with hair. So what is the Gemara saying? Even Rabbi Yehuda that says Shtei Cyrus is not a simple. So again, Banim Adifa Misimanim. What does that sentence mean? It doesn't mean Banim are better than the Simon of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's Simon is, but it means like this. Simanim means Shtei Cyrus. So even Rabbi Yehuda, who would say Shtei Cyrus is not enough of a Simon. So regular simanim, how we define simanim, like him, is no good. But this will be a good simon, even like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. But again, l'chayra, even in the first mandarim, you have to say it's better than simanim because the girl is not 12 yet. Okay. Now then we have a third teretz. Rav Zvin Omar, ein banim uloi simanim. This is Takashir. Unlike the first two Terutzim that say it is the Etzem Kayach of Leda, that makes a person mature, Rav Zimin says no. To become a Gedolah, you have to have Shnei Cyrus. There's no alternative way of becoming a Gedolah. But what? What Chazal say, we know that a woman wouldn't be able to have children unless her body physically developed in that way. So we automatically assume Ein Banim B'lai Simanim.
Why, she wasn't 12?
So that's the kasha. The kasha is, it turns out, you're not giving anything magical to Leda. You're just saying Leda is proof there was Cyrus. All right, let's say there was Cyrus. She's not 12. Like this Terutz, it's very, very true.
Where do we get the rule at 12 and hair from?
Huh?
Where do we get the klal? You need both. You need shalom and
Nisha. Mishnah says in Nika that a girl is a Naira when she is 12. So what does that mean? I mean, so you need, okay, there's a shot that we'll start. Okay. We'll go to the shalom.